Hey, good morning and welcome to the Raider Wrap right here on KYMN 95.11 and AM 1080. It's high noon. Well, it's high noon somewhere. It's 10 o'clock here in the Cannon Valley area. Good morning, good morning. Jimmy LaRue with you on a Saturday morning. It's already the 18th day of January. Winter is almost over. Thank God. Well, we'll see if the coach of the Nordic ski team and Ani agree with me or not on that. We'll be with them in a minute. Yes, we've got the Nordic ski team is on docket for today, and we're going to talk to them a little bit about the snow or the no snow or something to that nature. It'll be a lot of fun. But needless to say, talk about weather. Let's talk about it, shall we? Why not? Hey, we've got mostly sunny skies today, a high of 9 degrees above. I did not stutter. Wind chills about negative 13, winds about 15 miles an hour, gusts of high as 25. That's where you're going to get kind of that wind chill activity going on for tonight. Partly cloudy, cooling off to minus 13. Wind chills, minus 31. Yay! Okay, and then for tomorrow, mostly sunny skies and a high near zero. Sunday night, partly cloudy, cooling off to 12 below. No big deal, right? Just a couple extra pairs of underwear and long underwear and some t-shirts and some layers and everybody's good. But before we go anywhere and start talking Nordic, we need to talk about the Raider scoreboard. What's been going on? Sponsored today by the Heritage Dental in Northfield. And it is Liz Campbell. Take us away, Liz. What's up?
Hello and good morning, Raider Nation, and welcome back to this week's Raider Sports Scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. Last night, the Highlanders dance team danced in the Big Nine conference meet. They placed third in jazz and fourth in kick behind Faribault. The Northfield wrestling team competed in the COTA Classic Invitational on Saturday, getting second with a score of 25. The gymnastics team had an invitational in Lakeville, losing with a score of 138.5 to 132.35 in favor of Lakeville North. They had another meet last night here at home against section rivals Owatonna. The boys' swimming and diving team had their true team sections on Saturday, sweeping the meet with a score of 1,328. They swam again on Tuesday against Faribault, winning the meet with a score of 91-66. Oliver Momberg won the 100 back, and Jimmy Graham won the 100 breast. Their JV divers also performed reverse dives in competition for the first time ever. They are now 5-0 on the season. The Raider boys hockey team played Owatonna on Saturday, beating the Huskies 5-0. Ben Geiger, Michael Stewart, Christian Whiteman, Henry Weber, and Brody Jensen all scored one goal for the Raiders. They played Rochester Mayo on Tuesday, beating them with a final score of 9-1. Ben Geiger and Michael Stewart both scored two goals for Northfield. The girls' hockey team had a game on Saturday against Owatonna, the game ending in an overtime tie with a score of 1-1. Reese Perutka scored the Raiders one goal against the section rivals. They played later in the week on Tuesday, facing off against Rochester Mayo and beating them 5-2. Emma Perutka scored four of the five goals for the Raiders, and Lindsay Erickson also pitched in a goal. The Raider girls basketball team had a game versus Austin on Saturday, beating them with a score of 63-41. They played Owatonna on Tuesday, losing a super close game with a score of 30-32 in favor of the Huskies. Our boys basketball team played Austin on Saturday.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bruss, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Well, thanks, Liz. We appreciate the update of the scoreboard, and I think we might have missed one score. I'm not sure. Craig, did you guys have a meet this past week?
We raced at last Tuesday at Battle Creeks.
Battle Creek?
In St. Paul.
Okay. Did you win?
No, our boys were fifth place because we didn't have enough scorers, and our girls were fourth.
Okay, well, we'll have to talk about it. Craig Cardinal is the head coach of the Nordic ski team, and Ani Gottfried joins me this morning. Good morning, Ani. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What do you do? I mean, obviously, you're here to ski, but what do you, do you have a position?
I do. I'm a senior captain of the Nordic ski team.
Very nice. How long have you been on the ski team?
For 4 years.
Oh.
I joined when I was in ninth grade.
Nice. Oh, so you're a senior?
I am.
So this is kind of, is this just kind of a fun thing to do in the wintertime, or is this, you take this pretty serious?
I take it seriously, but it is a sport that I do in between cross country and track, so it's to keep in shape through the winter.
Nice. And so this is a Nordic cross country versus cross country. Obviously, one runs and one skis. I know you and I both know physically it's different. Okay, this is to just kind of understand how much of a major difference in the muscles that you use from a regular cross country and Nordic cross country. Mm-hmm. What's your definition of the difference there?
Yeah, I'd say that Nordic cross country requires a lot more technique based on the different types of skiing that we do, because we do classic and skate skiing, compared to cross country, which is just one continuous motion, which does require technique, but not as much as skiing does.
So the skating part, explain that to me. Is that obviously you're not going to jump out on an ice arena?
No. Nope.
I'm assuming that you, when you skate, is there a track on that?
There's groomed trails, but they're wide enough that we can just like skate with our long skis. Similar motion to ice skating, but
yeah,
with a lot longer skis on.
So do you participate in competition then in a skate mode?
Yes. So we do both 5K races with skate and classic skiing.
Combination, or like one time you skate, the next time you Nordic?
One time we skate, and then the other time we classic skate.
Classic.
Yep,
classic.
And classic skiing is in the tracks.
Okay.
With like double poling, striding, completely different motion than skate skiing.
Right. Okay. Well, good for you. Congratulations. Do you participate in both?
Yes, I do. I do prefer skate skiing, though. Comes a lot easier to me than classic.
You ever thought about hockey?
I have not.
No?
I feel like that's something I would have needed to start it a lot longer.
Perhaps.
Yes. When I joined the ski team, I had never skied before
Ninth
grade. But
nice. So what got you interested? What happened there?
Yeah, I had heard a bit about Nordic through like cross country, just a way to stay in shape through the winter. I joined with my younger sister when I was in ninth grade, and I've continued it ever since. It's just been a really fun winter activity to do. And yeah. It's been fun to learn the different technique and kind of learn more about that part of
Are you
sport.
Any good?
Yeah.
Are you any good?
I like to say I am. I'm working
Craig,
on it.
Craig is going, yes. Yep. You're like, no, it's not about me. It's about the team. But you're pretty good.
I am better at skate skiing than classic, yes. But I'm working on classic so I can get better at that as well.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, Ani's been a solid varsity contributor for at least 2 to 3 years now, so...
So
yeah, improving every year.
We were talking. We just talked, and you said you had fifth and fourth, and the boys didn't have enough skaters.
Enough participants, yeah. So you can race up to 10 racers on the varsity squad, and 5 of them score. So because of illness and because our boys' team was small to start with, it only takes a couple being sick to put us below that 5 scorer mark, and then your score reflects not having enough people.
So were there 5 teams there?
There were 7 teams.
Okay, well.
So we weren't the only team with people out sick or with a small boys team.
Oh, I was going to say, if you were short, but you beat the other team that had a full team, that baby, way to go. That's rock and rolling, baby. That's good stuff. No, they were short, too.
Yeah, generally across the state, what we've seen is that boys teams tend to be smaller than girls teams because boys swimming in the winter really draws a lot of the endurance crowd that the girls don't have their winter sport with their having swimming in the fall.
Ani, you said you cross country, and we know that the cross country team, both the girls and the boys, have 60 participants every year, it seems like. It's just nuts. Does it help you for when you're doing the cross country skiing and stuff like that? Do you think that helps you in the fall?
Yeah, I'd say it definitely helps me. The endurance that I get from cross country is really ties into then like Nordic skiing as well. And, yeah, our Nordic team is a lot smaller than cross country, but we still have a really good strong group of people. So,
so I do know with, you know, with Nicole and Janet, so they like to take you guys running. And I mean running. They're not afraid to send you a long distance. Is it the same here? I know you skate and then you have classic, but do you, does Craig push you to do 20 miles in a, in all right, ready, go? Or does that, or is it a different practice when it comes to practicing?
I'd say it's different because we have to focus a lot more on technique as well as endurance. But you can go like further distances on skis than running with the same amount of like effort level. I don't keep track exactly of how much I do each day, but it is a bit, yeah.
Yeah. What is it, what does a practice look like, Craig? So, all right, well, let's talk to the, about the elephant in the room. Yeah. And I'm not going to talk about me. We're talking about the snow, or lack thereof. You had one snow this year. We've had one snow, which actually came at a real nice place right before Christmas.
Yep, we did get 3 days skiing down here in town, which is three more than we had last season. So we're heading back in the right direction. But it's certainly been a change after the years prior to last year, where we were often skiing within a week or two of the beginning of our season, end of November, and skiing down here in Northfield straight through. So that's definitely been a challenge that has required a lot more travel time and a lot more creativity in setting up our training program. We use roller skis on the roads and bike trails around town, and really the team committed to kind of using those and getting better on our roller skis last year when we didn't have snow, and that's paid dividends for us this year. We saw everybody starting the season ready to get out on their roller skis. A lot of skiers even excited to get out on them just because it's a more close motion to skiing on snow than running or hill bounding, which are other main forms of training.
So how about skate skiing then? I mean, even on the rollers, I mean, is that functional? Is that, I mean, that's possible, right?
Yeah, it works really well. Kind of similar to roller, the way that roller blades work. So it's a very similar motion to roller blading, but we actually have roller skis where we can use our same ski boots and clip in. We use poles the same as we do on snow. We just have sharper, harder tips for biting into the asphalt instead of into snow.
Sure. So, Ani, how's that when it comes to practicing like that? So you're on the roller skis and then you're on the actual skis. How much of a difference is that?
Yeah, I'd say that they're pretty similar and it offers like a really good alternative type of training. Although it does make quite a big difference when you're actually on snow. I know when I was learning to ski, I learned to ski on roller skis. And then once I actually got to snow, it was a lot easier and I was a lot less afraid to fall. Because if you fall on snow, then you don't get as hurt as if you fall on, like,
asphalt.
That's
one big difference. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, don't fall down. What's wrong with you? The key is to stay up, isn't it?
Yeah, I have really, one thing Nordic has done is improved my balance a lot. But when I started, I did not have the best balance.
So you're just, you're cross country, mm-hmm. Nordic, and track.
Yes.
And you've been running those for 4 years, too?
Yep. Great. I cross country 1 year longer.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm. So how'd you do last year in the cross-country team? Good?
Last year cross-country team was good, yep. Yeah. We had a really strong team, and I wasn't on the roster that went to state, but our girls team did go to state.
Okay, what are you going to do at this spring then for track? What are you doing?
For track, I do pole vaulting and hurdles, which is different than some people might expect with my like distance endurance training.
Hello.
Yeah, it's really fun, and I went to state last year for pole vault, so I hope to do that again.
What are you doing low hurdles?
I do
just 100 meter,
300 meter low hurdles and 100 meter high hurdles.
Okay, well, so 300 meters low hurdles, that's some endurance too.
Yes,
that's nuts. That's some craziness there. So, fourth year, cross country. Nordic, excuse me,
yep.
Classic, skate. Are you more of, so are you, you said you like the skating aspect of it versus the classic. Do you participate in both or do you, are you like their top skater or what, how do, where do you come in and how does that play out as far as when you, when do you ski? Mm-hmm. Are you skiing in both events or what are you doing?
Yeah, so we alternate like race days, whether it's a skate 5K or a classic 5K, and I do both. although if it, there's a meet that we get to like choose which one to do, and some people do skate and some people do classic, I usually do the skate race. And I do place a little higher on the team in skate than I do for classic.
Okay. Coach, I mean, I don't even, we were looking at the schedule. The schedule is all over the place. We don't know when it is. You were probably scheduled, what, December to start? Maybe early December?
First week of December. So we're pretty far into our season. We have our conference meet.
Did it happen, though?
Yeah, we've held every race this year, actually. Cold weather early meant the snowmaking venues were able to get a lot of snow blown right away, end of November. So we had our first race, I think it was on December 4th this year. The first one we always schedule is a little bit more of a low-key relay because it gets canceled often.
Sure.
But we were able to hold it this year and have been off to the races. We've made our entire race calendar happen, sometime with some small rearrangements based on weather or snow availability. But yeah, we've been racing really well. It's been exciting to see after kind of a rebuilding year last year. We had a lot of skiers graduate. The first year since I've been with the program that we haven't sent a skier to state last year. But this year we're coming back really strong. On the girls' side, we have some freshmen and some eighth grade girls who have really been cranking hard over the summer and are coming in with a lot of good fitness from their fall sports and have been consistently placing one or two skiers in the top 10 at most of our conference races. And that's pretty much the same competition that we're going to see at our state qualifying section meet. So
that's not that far away.
No,
like in February.
Yeah, a little over 2 weeks on February 4th.
Boom, here you are.
Yep.
You finally get on the radio. Way to go. Thanks for showing up. So I guess I never really thought about it because we haven't had any snow. We did it last year. It was the same thing. So what about Northfield? Did you put anything on here in Northfield? Because we don't have snowmaking machines here, do we?
Yep, and we haven't scheduled any races down here for a few years now. But we do train down here often at the Carlton Arboretum or at St. Olaf. Both of them have really good trail grooming now when the opportunity arises. But most of our meets are at one of the snowmaking venues around the metro. Highland Park in Bloomington is the most common.
Mm-hmm.
But we also race at Battle Creek in St. Paul, at Theodore Worth in Minneapolis.
They make snow up there?
Yep, they make snow at all of those places. And then this year for our conference meet, we're actually heading up to Mora, Minnesota.
They might actually have snow.
Yep, they have some more natural snow, and they also have a gorgeous, I think they have 7 kilometers of man-made snow open,
wow.
So the most anywhere in the state.
I was going to say, Theo Worth, kind of tucked into that Golden Valley, St. Louis. I mean, it's in a neighborhood, is what it is, kind of sorted up there by the lake. But
yep.
They actually have like 3-4 miles of groomed.
They do. I think they're up to almost 6 kilometers of man-made snow now. They held a World Cup, so like an international competition there last year, and it was a huge success. They kind of lucked out. The one snowstorm that we got in February was the day before that race, so everything was looking really brown through setup, but then race day came and everything was gorgeous.
Everybody was happy.
Minnesota showed off its best for that day. But
Ani, do you do any skiing outside of this? Like, I know they talk about there's some contests coming up, the Finlandia and the Lapit, which is the Minnesota Nordic Club, if you will, or the Minnesota Nordic Association, something like that. I mean, do you have the kids participate in any of those?
We leave it open as an option. A lot of them are happening during the high school season, so I kind of discourage them doing longs. But we do have a few of our athletes who are racing what are called junior national qualifier events. So we have a couple of girls and a couple boys who have been racing some of those. I guess one boy and two girls this year, I believe, racing JNQ races. So that's where they can accumulate points to qualify for junior nationals. Because we can only compete when there's snow, we really get all of this crammed into one season. We don't have the option to do a club season like a lot of other sports do. So they're already balancing both high school races, JNQ races for some of them. And then for those who don't qualify for state, I often encourage them to look at some of the later season races like the Minnesota Finlandia or the Mora Vasa Lopit.
So when the season started, like the girls' hockey team starts the end of October and their first games are first part of November and they ski and then their playoffs are going to be here February 6th as well. I mean, they're right around the corner. However, that's a little bit longer season, Ani. So When did you actually get on your skates for cross country? Because, again, you know, I know you get the rollerblades and all that fun stuff, but when do you guys actually officially start? Because the season doesn't really get underway until December.
So, actually, November 14th is when our season starts.
Yeah.
So, pretty early. So we're in.
Is that a meet?
No, that's beginning practice. So, okay. Yeah, starting practice, and then December 4th is our first race. Usually try and get on snow at least a week before our first race. This time, I think some of our newer skiers, it was their first time on snow, and some of the veterans got up on their own to ski as soon as snow was available, so about a week before that December 4th race.
So you never had skied before on it, right, until you're a freshman?
Yeah, before joining the team, I had never skied.
And you said your younger sister?
Yes, she was in 7th grade at the time, and then I was in 9th grade.
So you two said, what the heck, let's just do this.
Yeah.
And so first day on the skis, what was your thought? Were you like going, what am I, nuts? You know, or how'd you feel?
It was a bit of a learning curve. We started out roller skiing in the summer. We had captain's practice in the summer that we attended to prepare us for the season. And then once we started the season, we did a bit more roller skiing, and we got snow pretty early on that year. So we got to ski a lot in the Carlton Arboretum, which was really fun. And it took me quite a while to learn, and I'm still constantly learning to improve my technique and get better. I've really loved sticking with it, and it's been a good part of my like winter.
Any goals for you as a senior this year for the team?
Well, for the team, I know this year, like, we hope to get a few people going to state, which is really exciting to see everyone race. For me personally, one of my goals has been to just get better at Classic, because it hasn't been my favorite in the past, and I've been working to make that more enjoyable for myself and improve that. Just to keep improving my technique and keep pushing myself.
Well, and it's actually a good sport that you can continue, and you having that background, I mean, it's going to be, you can continue that, you know, as life goes along too. As long as you keep working out, staying limber, you should be in great shape. Have you talked about any colleges coming up? Anyone been talking to you? You been talking to anyone?
Yeah, well, being a 3-season athlete, I have probably just thinking I'll do one sport in college, and I'll probably continue doing pole vaulting in college. Nordic, I would love to join like a Nordic club or just get out and like ski in my free time, but probably not do an actual college sport for that.
Sure. But pole vault.
Yes.
So what was your highest last year?
Last year, my highest was 10 feet, 3 inches.
Okay.
So I got over the 3-meter mark, which is a big goal. Yeah. My goal for this year is to get 11.
4 meters? You're going for 4 meters?
4 meters would be pretty crazy.
No, that's only a couple of feet. Come on.
That would maybe break our school record. So I don't know.
Let's
about that.
Do it. What is the school record?
13.6. 12.6. 12.6.
12.6.
Technically, she got 13 during a summer meet.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Who is that?
Alexis Kiefer in 2015.
Okay, so it's been 10 years.
Yep.
Yeah, I see Ani written all over this year. I do. I see, 12.7, 12.8. What do you think? What is that? A couple of feet.
Yep. When considering pole vaulting, a couple of feet is quite a big
you think?
Distance.
You think?
Quite a big difference, yeah.
I was a high jumper.
Okay.
A half an inch is huge compared. Yeah. Yes. The difference between winning and losing is literally, it could be a half an inch. It's crazy. So, yeah. So, Craig, how many people are on the boys' team this year, and how many are on the girls' team?
So we have 10 boys and I believe 29 girls out. So,
okay. Yep. Nice. So you got a big squad. That's good for the girls.
Yeah.
A lot of underclassmen. So are we graduating a lot, or you got some good hopes for next year as well?
We're graduating, I believe, just one boy and maybe 4 or 5 girls. But yeah, I've been reloading. We had a big crop of 7th graders come in this year. So it's been exciting to kind of watch them get their legs under them, start to figure the sport out with a lot of good guidance from our older skiers. But our kind of most competitive skiers are like in that 8th, 9th grade range right now. So I'm hoping we're going to just keep getting stronger and stronger. We've had 3 freshman girls and 1 8th grader that have all been consistently in the top 20 or top 10 this year. So that's a good core for a scoring team if we can find one fifth skier to kind of fill that last spot, I think will be quite competitive. So right now we race with the South Suburban Conference, as does Winona. And so Winona and Prior Lake are very strong on the girls' team, but Prior Lake is graduating almost all of their scorers. Mm. So looking ahead
next
at the future.
Next year.
We're going to just kind of continue to get stronger, I think, on the girls' side. Really have to step up our recruiting on the boys' side to fill out our ranks.
I was going to say, Ani, how come, was there anything else? I mean, you were ninth grade. I mean, you looked at your younger sisters. Hey, how about we join the cross-country team? No, I don't think. There must have been more to it than that, maybe a little bit. Did you, what was there a motivation? Was there a drive? Did somebody push you to want to participate in that? How did you get involved in the sport?
Yeah, mostly, I know, like, Craig is a cross-country coach as well on the boys' side, so I heard it from him, and also just a good way to, like, stay in shape through the winter. Yeah, and that was mostly what got me initially invested in it, but then, like, learning how to ski, it was really, like, a interest of mine. And, yes, this year, I have two younger sisters, and both of us, both of them are on the team this year, so it's all three of us together, which has been really fun as well.
Cool. Mm-hmm. For getting them in here, you've got your hockey team, you get your wrestling team, the basketball team, but the girls have basketball, they have hockey, they have that, so they have a nice little turnout. But any idea why maybe the numbers are down at all, or what can we do to tell people to come on out and join the boys team?
So it seems like swimming is probably the biggest sport that we're competing with for, like, the endurance kind of athletes. So the other thing, so I do coach the boys' cross-country team, and I always try and, like, recruit out of the cross-country running team because they already come in with endurance. Then it's just a matter of which ones are willing to put up with the cold and interested in learning the technique that goes with skiing. But right now, a lot of our boys' cross-country program are very artistic, and there's a lot of plays and concerts and stuff like that going on throughout the winter. Nordic is one of the sports that for sure sees a big hit when it's a rock and roll year.
Right.
Our numbers will go up and down 30% or more.
Right. So last year they had rock and roll. So they skip every other year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this year, unfortunately, the numbers are down a little bit, but maybe we can get some people participating in that.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep recruiting from the cross country crew and from whoever I can talk to.
Sure.
I've been a big fan of the sport since I've been in high school, so it's easy for me to convince people to give it a try, and I think we'll have a good group of senior captains coming up for the boys next year that all are really enthusiastic. So,
well, what people I think need to realize is that when your Minnesota Vikings get beat out of the playoffs, which they seem to do every year, this is an absolute opportunity to spend the rest of the winter out and about skiing, because you can do it forever. Basically, I mean, I you got to really be physically having some issues with that. But, I mean, you see so many people out cross-country skiing all the time. And you see all the older people and stuff like that. They're out there on a Sunday afternoon when the Vikings aren't playing. It gives you an idea. You know, you get outside, get a little exercise, have a little fun. Today looks beautiful. It's cold, but it looks beautiful out. So that's kind of nice. That's a bonus. The next couple of days aren't going to be so nice. And that cost you a couple of you were supposed to ski, what, Tuesday? Monday.
On Monday. We were supposed to have our conference race this Monday, and that we decided to postpone because we're not allowed to race when the air temperature is below -4 Fahrenheit.
Okay.
And the high in Mora that day is, I think, -6 right now. So there wouldn't be any part of the day when we'd be able to get our race
in.
It has
nothing to do with wind chill. It's about temperature, right?
So the wind chill cutoff is -20. Okay. So we're also below that, but below the air temperature cutoff and the wind chill for Monday.
So what are they going to do for that? That's
so we're rescheduling to Friday, which puts our kids back in school, unfortunately, but most of our competition has finals next week. So Friday would be the earliest they could host the meet around their final schedule for most of those schools. So we make it work, unfortunately, Nordic, so we can race in the daylight. Does require missing a little bit more school than some other sports when the days
are longer. Joined. Don't you lie.
No.
But the weather on Friday looks really fantastic, so I'm excited to see how our conference competition goes. And it's a real step up because typical races, we race one 5K, either skate or classic. But for conference and sections, we race both. So we race a 5K classic in the morning and a 5K skate in the afternoon. So the demand on the athletes goes way up.
Yeah.
So we've been training all season to be able to handle that demand.
Both of them. And so 10K. So will you do 10K, Annie, on that day?
I will.
So you'll skate both.
Mm-hmm.
So, which, yeah, I was going to say the classic. So you're not as proficient in the classic. Is that harder on your body, the classic, or the skate harder on your body, would you say?
I'd say it just depends on, like, the technique for it, too. But, yeah, I prefer doing, like, classic in the morning, because then if I'm slower in that than in the skate for the afternoon, sometimes they do, like, a pursuit style. So then they place you where you kind of finished for the classic, which means that since I'm better at skate, then I get to, like, pass a bunch of people during that race.
So they advance you on the... on the ski range or whatever you want to call it, track or whatever you want to call it. So like if you finished lower in the classic, did they put you out?
It's by time. So if you finish the classic race 10 seconds behind someone else, you'll start the skate race 10 seconds after they start. So
after they start.
So it's a continuous kind ahead of start.
Them.
Nope.
Oh.
So then you can have a pursuit score. The pursuit score is then a combination of both of your races. So where you finish that second race is your placing for the day, because it's already taken into account your classic race because your start time is delayed.
We got the electronic board talking to us. The phone is just randomly going off. This is just, did you bring ghosts in through the front door, Annie? What's going on here?
I'm not sure
either. We got something happening here in the studio. It's kind of ambience. So, okay, so good luck. So Friday, so is that the last? No, that's not the last meet.
Nope. Can't so be. After that, we'll have one more conference team event, and then our section meet will be February 4th, and that determines who goes on to the state meet the week after.
So do you feel confident, Ani, in either one, either skate or classic? Do you feel that you are going to hopefully advance or try to advance?
I will likely not advance to the state meet, but I know some other people on our team hopefully will.
Right. So are you captain then?
Yes.
So you're kind of the leader and whatnot. So do you have any roles outside of just skiing that, you know, as a captain that you get to take part in?
Yeah. Well, for example, like today, I've planned a team bonding. So we're going ice skating later today, which is fun as a team. So I get to coordinate some of those events. Just I like to help people answer any questions they have, particularly with like ski waxing, because that can be challenging sometimes. Like at race starts, I like to make an effort to just connect with each and every person, to ask about like their races and everything. So I like the role of a captain a lot.
Where are you going skating at?
We're going to the Carlton ice skating rink.
Oh,
yes.
Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Is that open skate or did you guys reserve that?
It's open skate, too.
Wow, yeah. Cool. See? Learn something. Better sharpen up them skates or something. Mm-hmm. So, well, Craig, I appreciate you coming in. Thanks for coming in. Did you guys ski? You didn't ski this morning, did you?
Nope. Heading out right after this.
Oh, are you going out, too, honey? Are you going
to? I'm not. I'm going to.
You're
go.
Just going to skate. You're just going to go actual skating, not skate Nordic-ing. You're going to skate. So, that's fun. What time does that start?
We're doing it in this afternoon from
2:00. And then you got lunch and stuff like that planned, and you got, you know, like a big dinner afterwards, or no, not so much.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
I have to.
Snacks and hot cocoa at least.
Yep, then. We're having some hot chocolate and some other snacks people
Very
are bringing.
Cool.
But
nice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in. Yep. So we're going to be talking to you again in the spring, I think. Because if you went to state last year in the pole vault, I can only, 12-6, you know. State records, you know, fun stuff like that in the pole vault for Ani. We're looking forward to it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so we should probably, you know, you might want to sign my paper before you get popular, too. Popular. I'll need your autograph before you get too big and forget all us small guys. But Craig, thanks for coming in. Appreciate that. And Ani, thank you and good luck. And, you know, keep on doing what you do.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. All right, so we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back. Then we're going to talk about wrestling. Yes. You don't need snow or warm weather for that. Well, you do need warm weather, for sure, but you don't need any snow. So we'll get Jeff Staub on the phone coming up here in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to the Raider Rap right here on AM 1080 and FM 95.1 The One.
Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center. Do you have HSA dollars that you're looking at wondering, hey, what can I use these on? Did you know you can use HSA, HRA, and other health savings accounts to pay for your LASIK procedure? In addition, if you have a Flex account, you can set aside money in your Flex account for next year to use towards LASIK.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
This is Paul Ryland with Johnson Ryland Builders Remodelers. Many of you in the listening audience live in the Cannon Falls area, or you have friends and family over there. I want to take a moment to share with you about Hardwood Estates, a new housing development just south of the high school. Single family and twin homes being built currently with some of the best land values around. Call us today or go visit the site and see an exciting new neighborhood that's got everyone talking. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders.
95.1.
Can you hear me now?
The One.
All right, very cool. Very cool. 33 seconds. Okay. Hold on. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? And we're back here at the Raider Wrap here at 20 minutes in front of 11 o'clock here on a Saturday morning with you on the Raider Wrap. Special thanks, obviously, to Craig Cardinal, the head coach of the Nordic Ski Team, and Ani Gottfried, who joined us this morning, did a really nice job for us this morning, and did not know that she was a state pole vaulter. So that's some fun we get to pay attention to coming up in the spring of 2025. For the 2024-25 wrestling season, it is all about the head coach, Jeff Staub. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
Morning. Great.
So how you feeling? Is the are the worms wiggling, or are you going minnows this morning? What's going on?
So, yeah, funny you bring that up. Ice fishing got canceled because of the temperature. So I'm not actually ice fishing. I'm actually heading out to Marshall to watch some of my former wrestlers wrestle for SMSU.
Huh?
So they got a duel out in Marshall, Minnesota.
Yep.
I'm going to watch some of my former wrestlers that wrestled for me that are now wrestling in college today.
Ah, I see. Okay.
Yeah, ice fishing got canceled. It's a little too cold, I guess.
Well, okay, hold on. Hold the phone. What, were you in a tournament or something?
Yeah, no. So SMSU is the college,
mm-hmm.
Southwest Minnesota State.
Yeah.
I have a couple former wrestlers that wrestled for Northfield a few years ago that wrestle on that team. So I'm driving out to Marshall to go watch them. They have like four duels today.
Well, yeah, I was talking about the fishing. How come the fishing got canceled, man?
Fishing got canceled because the guy's house I was going to said we're not going because of the temperature change and the fish weren't going to bite.
Oh. So
up to his cabin.
Oh. So, that got canceled. So this guy is the fish whisperer, is what you're saying.
He is.
So, okay, well, I don't know. Sitting in a 6x6, you know, just chilling back. I don't know. You got a heater in there. Yeah, whatever.
All right. Is it about fishing or is it about catching? Which one is it? You know what I mean?
I agree. But doing the next best thing and going watching some old former wrestlers.
Well, I was going to say, Saturdays are pretty full for the wrestling team because it seems like you guys do most of your events, if not all of them, on Saturday.
Yeah, we usually have about one weekend off a year. That's it.
That's this weekend. And instead of fishing, you're going to go watch some more wrestling. So is that a big college meet going on down there? Just a duel or what's happening with that one?
There's five teams. So there's five duels.
They're all facing off against each other.
Correct. Yep.
So you get to wrestle five times?
Four times. Yep.
Wow.
So five teams. They wrestle four matches. I think the first one at noon against Minot State, so I'm going to get to watch a couple of them.
Sure, but that's got to be a grueling afternoon. That's a lot of wrestling. That's a lot of energy.
Oh yeah.
Okay, well, with that said, how about those Raiders? What's going on with the Raider wrestling team this year? We got a bunch of guys back, I think, from last year, and we usually compete pretty well. What are we doing this year?
We are. Currently ranked number 7 in the state. We've been to a couple national tournaments, one national one and another real big one.
This year?
We went to the Christmas tournament down in Rochester. It's all the top teams in both AA, AAA, top 12, 15 teams there. That was an individual tournament. We did pretty well there. We placed 4 or 5 guys. And then we did the Clash Duels down in La Crosse over the January 3rd and 4th, and did pretty well there. We upset a 6-time state champions out of Iowa, Don Bosco, won that duel. We weren't expected to win that one, and we did well. So season's off to a good start.
How is conference-wise, how are we doing? How are we holding up against our own conference?
We're good. We're good. I think we've lost one and won 4.
Okay.
So we're doing well, and we got Albert Lee coming up this Friday.
Usually a powerhouse wrestling team as well.
Right. In our section, it's us, Albert Lee, Owatonna, Mayo. Well, we beat Owatonna and Mayo, so the big test is going to be this Friday or a week from coming up this Friday against Albert Lee, so that should be a good one.
Crazy enough, it's already the 18th of January, so wrestling is right smack dab in the middle of everything here. And so your season rolls well into February, right?
Yes. Team sections will be like the February 13th, I believe that begins. That's the Thursday. And then the week after that will be individual sections. And then the week after that is the state tournament, end of February, early March.
Wow. Boom. Kind of a fun time during the high school time. I mean, wrestling's at the end of February like that. Then you've got the hockey team right in behind you. The boys' hockey's right on top. Then the basketball. And exciting times for high school sports all the way around. So
absolutely.
When you look at that wrestling team this year, any standouts for your team this year that you're, I won't say shocked, but maybe, you're like going, whoa, I didn't see that one coming.
We have a 7th grader wrestling up at 107 right now. He's a little undersized. He came up a little bit a few weeks into the season. He was down at the middle school. He got a big win for us over Don Bosco, Easton Johnston. But Charlie Johnson is up at Drew Pribble at 27. 114, we have Alina Johnson, 7th grade girl wrestling. We started out the season with 3 girls at 107, 114, and 121.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're one of the only teams in the state to do that and be ranked as high as we are. So that was kind of an interesting little nugget.
Sure.
That was Ivy Brandenburg, Alina Johnson, and then Callie Graber.
I was going to say, where is Callie this year? She appeared at the state tournament last year, and the place was all a buzz. She 3rd or 5th? I can't remember.
She got 5th.
Yeah.
5th last year, but she was the first girl to ever win a match in the state tournament. So, and then not only placed, but she was the first one to ever win a match in the boys' state tournament. So, that was pretty exciting. She's doing well for us at 121. And then at 27, we got Drew Pribble wrestling there right now, freshman. Kind of picking it up as the year goes along. Charlie Johnson's having a good year. He had a big win for us against Don Bosco. 39, we have 39, 45, but basically 39 through 215, we're pretty solid. That's where a lot of our ranked wrestlers are at. 39, mm-hmm. you got Keith Harner. 45, Caden Staub. 52, Sam Harner. 60, Zane Engels. And then 72, Aya Schweik's been wrestling there. 89, Owen Murphy, three-time state entrant. Ryan Kuiper at 215, three-time state entrant. And then down lower, like Keith Harner was a three-time state entrant. Caden Staub's a two-time state entrant. So we got some hammers. And then Braxton Woods helping us out up top at 285. So we got a pretty well-balanced team.
285 is heavyweight, right? Or
yep.
Is there one above that or no?
Nope.
And the heavyweight, you can't, because they used to throw like, you know, a 400-pound kid out there. They kind of went away from that, right?
Yeah, 285 is the highest you can be.
So that's your max weight for check-in. That's when you get there.
Correct.
Okay. But do you have to weigh a certain amount to participate in that? You can't be 180 pounds.
You have to be above the 189 weight class. So as long as you're up 0.1 over 189, can wrestle heavyweight.
Yeah.
So it's a big gap.
I was going to say, if you're 191 and that other dude rolls at 289, it's like, look out.
There's definitely a difference there.
Could be a fun afternoon. Fun 3 minutes, if they say, if as you will. So,
yeah.
You're out and about watching some old alumni and things like that. Kind of your practice schedule going forward here is, I mean, it's, you still got some tournaments coming up. Do you have strictly duels or do you got a couple of big meets that you're just going to go and kind of hang out in and participate in?
We went through our big meets already, but we have a couple individual tournaments left and mainly duels, two individual tournaments and just a lot of duels and tries and quads where, you know, you get two or three teams there.
So when's your next, is it next Saturday then you get another one or you got something in between?
We got this Friday coming up. We have a quad with Albert Lee, Winona, and Mankato West on Friday. And then Saturday we're wrestling in an individual tournament in Lake City.
Okay.
That's next Saturday. So.
Right. And then the following week, do you still get that kind of that week off in between? Is that kind of design that for health purposes or is it just scheduling?
It's just the schedule. Like we're off this. We have a girls wrestling today in Pine Island. It's a strictly girls tournament. We have Lainey Houts and Rowan Seeley and Alina Johnson wrestling down there at that one. But other than that, we've actually, our kind of break was this week and next week. We had finals this week, so we didn't have any duels during the week. And then next week, we don't wrestle till Friday. So we kind of had a little run there where we had a lot of matches. And then we kind of have like almost like a 2 week break for the boys at least.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of heal up, get ready for this kind of final push, you know.
Are you going to have, is Callie going to do any women's meets at all or?
Yeah, she was. She just came down with an illness. So she was going to wrestle today. She's wrestled in one already this year and she's, you know, kind of on the fence whether she's going to do boys or girls this year. So
for the state, you mean?
Yep. For the sections and state, we're just going to kind of play it by ear and, see what she wants to do.
She wasn't she down at was she 107 or 114 last year, or was she
last year? She was 107.
Okay, so
this year she's mainly wrestling 121.
Right.
She's going back and forth whether she wants to go down to 14 or not. So
right. Little stiffer competition at 121. You wouldn't think that little 14 pound difference makes a difference, but it does.
It makes a big difference for sure. Yeah, definitely a lot tougher.
Has she had some good victories then this year?
Yeah. She avenged a loss that she had earlier in the year to Mankato East, and then she won that one. She lost to him at our tournament. Stensrud, he's a ranked wrestler from AA, and then she came back and beat him last a week ago
Tuesday? Yeah, a week ago Tuesday, that's what it was. She came back and beat him. So, yeah, she's had some definitely tough kids. She had some real tough ones at the Clash. You know, they have teams from all over the country there. But she's battling. She's, you know, kind of figuring out her way at a higher weight class, and she's doing well.
So you've got, like you said, you've got like four or five that have been to state before, and I got to believe that they feel pretty confident and comfortable to maybe advance again. Do you see it more of a single participant, or is there any way to get the whole team there this year?
No, I think we have a good shot. I mean, when we wrestle Albert Lee, that's going to kind of tell us where we're at. They're ranked sixth in the state. We're ranked seventh, so I think it's going to be a good duel. I think our team definitely has a great shot of going this year. We just got to, you know, wrestle well on that day. And then I think we'll get quite a few individuals as well to go through in the individual part of it. Just, to, you know, it all kind of depends on where everybody goes for weights in our section. But, no, we're feeling really good about where our team's at and where they could finish this year. So we have a lot of high hopes for getting quite a few kids onto the state tournament.
Well, very good. Jeff Staub, head coach of the wrestling team. I had so many of them. I had the bottle bass and the whale of a buzz and holding your mouth right and all this fun stuff for ice fishing. And
I know.
My God, now I don't get to use any of them.
I know. That was the plan. It just happened a couple days ago where the plan fell through. So.
Well, it's probably a good thing. You know, you don't need to be frostbit, you know, just for sitting out fishing. So, listen, enjoy safe travels down to Marshall. Good luck to them. And, hopefully say hi to the alumni for everyone from Northfield here and go Raiders. So thanks for joining us today and good luck. And let's talk again.
Thank you, and will do. All right.
All right. Head coach of the wrestling team, Jeff Staub, assistant football coach as well for the Northfield Raiders, joining us this morning on the Raider Wrap. And don't forget, we've got more coming up with Meet the Raider. So it's just not necessarily all about sports, boys and girls. Yeah, we talk a little bit about life once in a while right here on the Raider Wrap on 95.1, the one in AM 1080, KYMN. We'll be right back.
The City of Northfield's Economic Development Authority is partnering with the University of Minnesota to gain a deeper understanding of business life in Northfield through the Connecting Business and Community Program. This process includes direct conversation with every willing business in Northfield. Volunteers, professionals, and local leaders will interview business owners about their general community concerns, challenges in business operations, and economic outlook to better understand what works and what needs work in Northfield. To learn more about this program, visit the city's website. We want every business in town to participate. That's northfieldmn.gov/CBC.
You've had a good run, and now after 35 years, it's time to turn over the keys. You built your business from nothing but a dream and hard work, and look at it now. It wasn't always easy, but it was rewarding, and you have the team at Merchants Bank to advise you along the way. Their help with business loans and strategy planning through the years was invaluable, and even now, here at the end, with a succession plan to help turn it over to the next generation. It's good to know that they'll have the same trusted partner to turn to like you did. Thanks, Merchants Bank.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bruss, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center. Do you have HSA dollars that you're looking at wondering, hey, what can I use these on? Did you know you can use HSA, HRA, and other health savings accounts to pay for your LASIK procedure? In addition, if you have a Flex account, you can set aside money in your Flex account for next year to use towards LASIK.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
95.1, the one station where you won't hear the same songs hour after hour.
You're listening to the Raider Wrap right here on KYMN 95.1, the one in AM 1080, 4 minutes in front of 11 o'clock. Beautiful blue skies, plenty of sunshine coming our way, which is going to be really, really nice. The temperature is only about 1 degrees above zero, but we should hopefully see above nine, but the wind chills at 13 below tonight. Cloudy skies, actual temperature down to 13 below with wind chills in excess of 30 below zero. For tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, cold, a high of only zero, and the wind chill at minus 35 for tomorrow. For tomorrow night, cloudy, cooling off to minus 12 with wind chills well into the 20s and 30s. And then for Monday, partly sunny, cold, a high of minus 4. Monday night, minus 18. Tuesday, sunny, and finally pops back out of that sub-zero temperature. Maybe around 4 degrees above. Tuesday night looks like it's only going to be minus 1, and we'll be back, hopefully, to normal temperatures, right around 23 degrees for Wednesday with mostly cloudy skies. But again, 1 degree sunshine here in the Cannon Valley. Let's find out what's been going on with Meet the Raider this week. We interview the Olympic weightlifting team. Let's listen in, shall we?
Hello, Raider Nation. Welcome back to Meet the Raider. I'm your host, Grant Selko, and today in the studio we have Olympic-style weightlifters Mason Munch and Caleb Graw. To start off, boys, how are you guys feeling so far this season?
We're feeling pretty good. I feel like we got a lot of new lifters with a lot of talent and a lot of returning lifters with some good talent, I feel like, yeah.
Yeah, I'd reiterate what Mason said. I think there's a lot of up-and-comers that definitely have potential, and then some of our more seasoned lifters and can go pretty far at state this year, so should be good.
What are your goals individually this season?
Personally, I want to qualify for state and then try to podium at state. I've done it the past couple of years, so going for that again.
Yeah, I qualified for state like last month, and so I want to go out and win, hopefully.
How have you guys gotten into Olympic weightlifting?
Growing up, I did like CrossFit, and then my brother was on the Olympic team, and then he kind of roped me into it. And
yeah, I had a brother on the team, so he just invited me my freshman year, and I joined, and it was a ball.
And what do you guys love most about Olympic style weightlifting?
I really like the community. Also, the lifts are fun. It's just a lot of work, a lot of energy.
Yeah, the lifts are interesting, and it's a lot of technique-based lifts, so that's fun. And then on meet day, you know, it's not you're mainly competing against yourself, and so you can have fun with lifters from other teams and all that.
Could you guys describe to me your first competition?
So my first competition, it was at Lakeville South. I was super nervous, but once you get out on the platform, hit that first lift, you know, it's just the nerves settle down and it's just go from there.
Yeah, my first one was 3 years ago, and it was like an in-house meet, so it was just at Northfield High School, and it was just our team. It was the most nervous I think I've ever been in my life. And I waited for like 7 hours. I got to the gym maybe at like 8 o'clock, and I didn't lift till 2. And then, yeah, once you hit your first snatch, all the emotions and the nerves kind of just run away, and then you're just having fun from there.
How would you guys describe your typical week of training?
So we train 4 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And it's usually at 3:30. We sort of have like three stations we kind of do on the platforms and then in the racks, which is usually like squats and then like a functional, which is just kind of other lifts and just strengthening our like ligaments.
Yeah, and then we do like things called training blocks. So if we have 4 weeks in between, you know, Lakeville South meet and Northfield meet, we'll do 2 strength weeks, which is working on our muscle strength and like how much we can withhold. 1 power week, which is working on how fast can we move the weight, and then 1 deload week to rest our muscles before going out and competing. So we kind of do a training block like that, and it alters depending on how much time we have in between meets.
And what would you guys say is the most difficult part about training in weightlifting?
I think it's got to be the technique and the snatch. It's like, it's a super technical movement, and if one thing goes wrong, you can just like, it's super easy to miss the lift.
I would say that you always have bad days, and so, you know, one day you can put up one weight, the next day you can't even throw up, you know, 90% of that weight, and it just kind of gets in your head, and you just gotta like, you just gotta understand that some days you feel better than others.
And do you believe it's important to keep yourself mentally strong during the season?
I think it is, because like Caleb said, you can have those bad days and, you know, you're mentally just not there some days and can hurt like your ego and like your mental.
Yeah, I mean, if you're lucky enough to qualify for state, you get 4 meets a year. So a lot of our time is just spent practicing, and that takes a lot of, you know, mental toughness to just get down in the trenches and work. Because, you know, in baseball, like I'm in baseball in the spring, we have a game like 3 days a week, so you can kind of see how you're doing. But in weightlifting, you're always practicing, so you don't really know what your competition's doing, so you got to stay at work.
And how would you guys stay focused mentally throughout the season when it may get difficult?
You can just try to focus like on the good days and just remember how those went, and then just know that those are coming, even in the bad days.
Yeah, I'd say buy into the community. So on the days where you don't want to lift, just look forward to like the interactions you have with buddies on the team, and then, you know, get your work done, but you can at least look forward to, you know, something at practice.
Do you guys have anything that you do specifically before meets that's kind of like a ritual?
I feel like there's some snacks that I get. Like, I always have like a granola bar, some protein, and like a banana, and then I feel like I'm just like ready to go.
Yeah, it always starts with a quick trip run before we hop on the bus. Get some protein shakes and bananas and peanut butter. And then for warm-ups, I know a lot of guys like to listen to like super like upbeat music, but I actually, since I'm nervous most of the time on meet days, I listen to like really calm music. I'm a Christian. I pray before I lift that I would just give the glory to God.
What does it feel like if you miss an important lift during a meet?
Not gonna lie, it sucks. Like, you've worked those 4 weeks that Caleb was talking about earlier. You've worked up to this moment, and then just missing that lift, it just really sucks. But
last week at Lakeville South, I missed a couple of big lifts, and yeah, I'd say it just sucks because you get six chances. You get three lifts at each, or three attempts at each lift. And so when you kind of like practice for that long, and then you get once a month, you get to try to prove yourself, and you have a bad day, it just kind of sucks.
And how would you guys be able to bounce back from a mistake like that?
I think it all comes back to practice and just like putting in more work and training harder, putting up more weight, then it all comes back.
Yeah, it motivates you to work harder for sure. When you see other kids take the weight that you missed and throw it up, it definitely motivates you.
And what do you believe is the most important physical attribute other than practice that goes into being able to hit your highest weight?
I think it all comes down to like leg strength, because with like cleans, it's all leg strength. Jerks, it's all leg strength. And snatches are a little more technical, but still, it requires a lot of leg strength.
Yeah, we squat 4 days a week, so it's definitely legs and then shoulders. When you snatch or when you're holding the weight overhead, you got to have some strong shoulders.
And you guys talked about like a power day or like a recovery day. What do those days mostly look like?
So like a power day, we'll do like what's known as an isometric squat. It's where you pause at the bottom and then you like try to bounce up like really quick. And it so just kind of trains our power, trains up. Quick, we can move the weight.
Yeah, and then we rest on Wednesdays, and so we don't practice at all. I know some kids like to stretch out. I definitely like to stretch on Wednesdays, kind of as that block in between our Monday and Tuesday sessions to our Thursday, Fridays.
Do you believe that sleep and diet is important when you're weightlifting?
I think dieting is definitely important, because it's important that you hit like a lot of protein to build your muscles, especially during those strength weeks when all we're doing is trying to break down our muscles, and then we need that protein to build them back up.
Yeah, and I'm a huge believer in sleep. I get in season, I'm getting like 9.5 hours a night. That's the best time for your muscles to recover. And so I think that's what sets apart. Like, if you want to be a really good lifter, you gotta prioritize your diet and your sleep.
And do you believe your coach plays a big role in your development as a weightlifter?
I think our coach does. He has a lot of experience weightlifting. He's a weightlifter himself. He knows a lot about the two lifts and a lot about the programming that goes into it.
Yeah, and when we go back to sleep and diet, he is big on diet and sleep for sure. He talks about almost every practice. And then when it comes to coaching our team, he does a really good job. If we've got almost 50 lifters, it's kind of complicated trying to train them all up. So he does a good job getting people involved and getting them to learn the lifts. And then we've got a couple of assistant coaches that can maybe help, you know, some of the more technical things if you're more advanced.
Along with how great your coach is, what qualities would you look for in your like ideal coach?
I would look for a coach who gives like a lot of cues like on how to do the lifts and just like really helps you like tweak your technique to be the best it can be.
Yeah, I would look for one who never like shows like acts surprised if you're doing well or says good job a lot. Definitely a coach that's very, stays in the same emotional state and doesn't get too excited for you, and then maybe on meet day gives you like a good job. But other than that, kind of makes you want to work towards that good job or the, you know, nice lift.
Have you guys faced like a major setback or injury? If so, what was it?
I have never faced an injury like that, no.
My sophomore year, I was out sledding with my brother and cousin on my grandpa's property. He owns quite a bit of land down in like Winona area, so it's like bluff lands. And I was sledding down down into the valley, and I hit a tree and sprained my wrist pretty bad. So I was out for about a month, and I basically had to switch into one arm lifts. So if you know what the clean and jerk and snatch are, you do it with one arm. So it was pretty brutal. It was emotionally and like mentally pretty rough, because you know you're watching everybody get better and you kind of stay at that same state and just trying to maintain the muscle that you've got.
Other than injuries, what is one major setback you've faced during a season?
For me, it's the seeing the same kids in my weight class throwing up the weight I couldn't, and just kind of hurts your mental, just makes you want to work more, I guess. So.
Yeah, last year I was in the 73 kilo weight class, and first meet went by, and I was number one in state. And then a kid returned that I thought had graduated the year prior, and I get teased for it. But he came back, and he watches Minecraft before he lifts, and he is incredibly strong. So, yeah, he was standing above me on the podium at state.
Do you believe, in your opinion, do you believe it's difficult to balance school, social life, and weightlifting during the season?
I think it can get to be a lot, definitely, because we go to school pretty much straight to weightlifting, and then if you have homework after, it's kind of that, then go to bed. But I think the social piece kind of comes into weightlifting, where you've got some buddies on the team, so you can get your social life there.
I would say it's actually, for me, it's not terrible. Because in weightlifting, you normally have to take about like a 30-second rest or so in between, you know, your lifts. And so in those times, that's like my social life. A lot of the times, you know, we're making jokes with buddies or whatnot. And weightlifting, you can't just practice for 3 hours a day, 6 days a week, because your body can't take it. So we're doing about, you know, our practices are about 2 hours long. And so it's only like 8-10 hours a week of weightlifting.
And could you walk me through a typical meet day from the moment you wake up until the end of the meet?
So when I get up, obviously shower, get on the bus, we go to the meet, and then we usually get there. I've been JV for the past couple of years just because of age and how it works. So it's usually like the JV or varsity girls that are lifting. The girls lift first before the guys, and so we get to watch the girls lift, cheer them on. Then it's usually weigh-ins for the JV guys, and then the JV guys will go lift. And then after I'm done lifting, it's helping out with the VAR guys.
Yeah, so as a varsity guy, you're the last person to lift. So like at Lakeville South this past meet, you know, you wake up at 8 o'clock, you know, make your quick trip run, and then you're on the bus at 9:30. And we'll show up to the gym at 10 with the JV guys, and then they'll do their thing, and we'll watch the rest of the JV girls go, and then JV and varsity girls, and then JV guys will go, and then we'll go. So, like, I showed up to Lakeville's gym at 10 o'clock or 10:15 in the morning, and I didn't do my last lift till 8 o'clock. So, I was around for 10 hours before I hit my last lift, which that can be pretty tiring, just being in a loud gym with a lot of lights all day. And then bus ride home, and then go out to eat with some of the guys.
And what are some of your short-term goals for your weightlifting career?
For me, I'll be in the 67-kilo weight class. This year, I'd like to snatch about 75 kilos and then clean and jerk anywhere from 90 to 100, and hopefully just qualify for state and try to secure a podium spot.
Yeah, this is my last year lifting since I'm a senior, so the goal is at state to snatch 118 kilos and clean and jerk 150.
And what would be your long-term goals for your career?
I'd like to take home another state title. I won it last year. I had to cut down to win, but it is what it is. So next year, I'd like to come back and try to win it again.
Probably as I move on to college, just kind of stay in the gym and stay active. I don't really have any like numbers I necessarily want to hit other than maybe, you know, one day 440-pound clean jerk. Other than that, just stay active.
Are you guys planning on weightlifting in college or not?
Probably not Olympic-style weightlifting. I want to continue to stay in the gym, build muscle, just keep getting bigger, but probably not Olympic-style.
Yeah, it's not an NCAA sport, so there are clubs. So, like, there have been a few clubs reach out and ask me if I was interested. And it's probably a no. Probably I could keep doing it on my own, and then you can just, you know, sign up for meets, you know, as a solo lifter, and then you can qualify for, like, national meets from there.
What has weightlifting taught you about life?
I feel like it's taught me how to be, like, mentally strong, because, like, through those rough days, it's tough to not just be like, you suck and you're not a good lifter. It's taught me to stay mentally tough.
Maybe it's taught me that you gotta want it yourself, because, like, there's nobody else in the gym that really wants it for me that much to, you know, go out and hit the numbers I want, just like in life. Like, there's not a ton of people that, you know, definitely want to watch you succeed as much as you're going to have to want to succeed yourself.
What advice would you give a new weightlifter that might want to try the sport?
I would say join for sure. It's a lot of fun. Once you get the technique down, it's a lot of fun from there. I don't know, the community's great. It teaches you, like, discipline, hard work.
Yeah, I always tell our first year guys that, like, as I'm wrapping up my senior year, you're never going to regret working hard, but you will, like, I always, like, am thinking about, what if I just had one more year to lift? And so you're never going to regret putting in the work, but you will regret not working hard enough.
You guys talked about how you cheer on your teammates as they do lifts. Do you believe that's an important part of being able to hit your lifts, is the support system around you?
For me, not so much. I feel like, for me, it's kind of comes from within. I feel like I want it more than anybody else wants it around me, so.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like, when there are other people on the team there, it's more fun to just kind of talk with them, like, when I'm not lifting. But when you're on the platform and you get set up, I can't really hear anything. Like, I'm just zoned out, so I can't hear any sort of cheers or anything. Like, there's a lot of screaming, but I don't remember any of the screaming after I'm done.
And you guys talked about how you like the culture around weightlifting. What is that like?
I feel like it's just, like, in the weight room, it's pretty friendly. A lot of, like, jokes are being made. It's just kind of a good time hanging out with the guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's a club sport, and I'd say, like, compared to baseball, you know, our goal for baseball is to win, and that's, like, the main goal and really the only goal. And with weightlifting, it's more of a social life than most sports in high school, I'd say. Like, yes, of course, our goal as a team is to win state, but there's a lot of time spent just kind of, like, having fun.
Weightlifting is a sport where you're doing it by yourself. Is it difficult to stay motivated or difficult to keep pushing yourself?
If you're not first, I feel like it's easy to stay motivated because you're always reaching for that number one spot. There's always guys better than you. I feel like it's easy to stay motivated to want that more.
I mean, my freshman year, I was first the whole year, and so there wasn't, like, you know, a number I was chasing. I was just kind of doing my thing. And then my sophomore, junior, and this year, I've always had one person ahead of me. So that helps kind of push you and keep you motivated. And then when we're in the gym during practice, even though, like, it's our own lifting, like, some encouraging words before we go lift from teammates does help a little bit.
Well, thank you guys for coming in today, and thank you, KYMN fans, for listening. If you missed a part of this interview live or you just want to listen to it again, head to our sports header. You're with Grant Selko on this week's Meet the Raider on the Raider Wrap. Tune in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1, The One.
Hi, this is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Builders. I want to take a moment today to reintroduce you to our Bluffview neighborhood. We are excited to let you know that in 2025, we are in full swing. We've completed the first 10 homes, and it's turning into a great neighborhood within our community. We presently have 4 homes for sale that are in various stages of completion, including our model home that is available Friday through Sunday each week. The best home sites always sell first, so come today. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
This is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Builders, introducing Craywood. With 22 single-family homes, these are heavily wooded home sites for very custom homes, whatever shape, whatever size, starting in the 600s. For decades, the Paulson family kept their little tree farm in the heart of our city, and now you can live there. There may never be another neighborhood with the new homes closer to the core, an easy walk to downtown or either college. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Rylan Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
The City of Northfield's Economic Development Authority is partnering with the University of Minnesota to gain a deeper understanding of business life in Northfield through the Connecting Business and Community Program. This process includes direct conversation with every willing business in Northfield. Volunteers, professionals, and local leaders will interview business owners about their general community concerns, challenges in business operations, and economic outlook to better understand what works and what needs work in Northfield. To learn more about this program, visit the city's website. We want every business in town to participate. That's northfieldmn.gov/CBC.
95.1 FM, 1080 AM.
You're listening to KYMN. Oh, Lord, it's been so many years.
Northfield, Minnesota.
Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. My master's gone away.
Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu for yet another Saturday morning. It's 18 minutes after 11 o'clock already. We went a little bit long today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you missed any of it, go to kymnradio.net. Go to programs, go to the Rate of Rap, click on today's date, and you can hear back and listen to all the fun this morning as we interview Craig Cardinal along with Ani Gottfried from the Nordic Ski Team. That was a fun little interview there. Jeff Staub joined us on the road as he was heading to Marshall. Talk about the wrestling team and their potential for state this year. And, of course, interviewing one-on-one with Meet the Raider this morning. Grant Selko gets us up to date with what's happening with Mason Munch and Caleb Graw. And the week's Meet the Raider. Next week, we hope to have, John Mahal, the activities director, should be on next week. Hopefully, he'll be on next week. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about some hockey as the seasons start to wind down and playoffs are starting to show up. Hopefully, we can keep the team on the ice and the boys don't get all crazy and get into getting all kinds of major penalties and kicked off the ice and stuff like that. But we'll talk more, hopefully, about hockey next week as well. As, like I said, we start rolling into February, so that's tournament time for a lot of different sports. So make sure you tune in next week, 10 a.m. right here on 1080 and 95.1 The One. Don't forget to go to kymnradio.net and listen back to all the fun stuff. And what else? We've got all kinds of fun stuff. Hey, don't forget, studio@kymnradio.net. If you got a question, so next week we get John Mahal. We got the activities director on next week. If you want to ask him a question about something going on in the activities department of Northfield Raiders Sports and Activities, send us an email, studio@kymnradio.net. You can send that right to us. We'll be able to review them, take a look at them. We'll edit them accordingly, censor them, of course, for language, obviously, not for content. And, if we find it worthy, we'll ask that question. studio@kymnradio.net. We hope to hear from you very, very, very soon. That is a wrap here on this week's Raider Wrap. Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu yet again. Have a safe and beautiful couple of days. It's going to be negative in the wind chills up to 30 below zero. So wrap it up tight, and we'll see you next week. Stick around. We got plenty of more music coming your way. I got to get over here and meet Wendy, the Weekends with Wendy. She'll be on tomorrow morning as well. We're going to plot some music for you this afternoon. That coming up tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6 a.m. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. Take care. God bless. Find your 10 seconds of happiness. We'll see you next time here on the Ready Wrap on AM 1080 and FM 95.1 The One. KYMN.
The economic pulse of Northfield is beating, and your business is part of it. Make sure you stay connected to that pulse with the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. They can help you form relationships and partnerships that can take your business to the next level. Networking events are great opportunities to get your business in front of new people and to make strong connections with other Northfield area business owners. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce knows how important your business is to our community. Stay connected to the economic pulse of Northfield. Go to northfieldchamber.com, join, and take your business to the next level.